We're live. Wow.
Welcome.
We're here with a new edition. Well, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Fired up again because this is some, you know, we just, you know, when to get education at YSU. You know, I have a protest in history, but I was going to be all mild-mannered this time and just get an education and have a nice time. But man, who would have thought that on this time around that they would do more damage to the university than perhaps in its 114 year history. And so today, Dr. LeBenz's appeal not have his contract renewed was rejected by the university after a great community and student-led movement have a whole petition to keep him and show the value he has to the university and in the classroom and to the community at large. And to save in what's a little tiny, not even a drop in the bucket with all this. And actually, it's an endowed program and position as well. So it actually doesn't even save any money to the university, but they got rid of him anyways. Meanwhile, they build buildings, they dabble in real estate, which I think some reporters around here need to start asking questions about that. With the athletic department already loses $7 million, they're adding to that. They're adding more. They propose to add more to the athletic budget than is going to be saved in all these cuts to faculty. So it's just like, what are they doing up there? It just really is frustrating because, specifically Dr. LeBenz, but there's also, I can't remember what the number's up to now because they added a whole another round of cuts to faculty as well. But Dr. LeBenz is the one that really sticks out to me personally because, one, he's someone I met before going back to YSU. He does a lot of community programs. One of them is being part of the Jewish Community Jewish Film Festival. And so in like, I guess it was about like 2017 or 2018, we were a venue for that with Youngstown Cinema at the Knox Building. We were a venue for that to show a film about the Holocaust in Slovakia. And it was a great film, but it was great to have the opportunity to meet Dr. LeBenz and talk with him and just what a smart dude. And then actually going back to YSU and just seeing his strength as a professor and how much he changed the lives of the students who had him in class. One of which is Brooke Bobovnik, who we had on this show before. She's a great classmate that we've done a number of projects together. And she went from not saying much to in the classroom at all to being one of the most, probably the most vocal student leader in protesting that cut. And she's the one who spearheaded, along with another former class member of Dr. LeBenz, the petition to save the position. And nope, they didn't bother with it.
So just from how this works, is it by committee? Is this like, is there somebody with an axe to grind? Like,
University structures, they have the provost be the bad guy for the president. I think that this community, since he's the golden child that we all begged him to come here for the university, I think the community needs to lay it at Tressel's feet. But often they go through the provost to be the bad guy with all that. So the provost Smith, I've never met him, but he's one who's signs off on it and it formally rejects the appeal so that
it wasn't by committee or by vote or anything like that. It was just like a single.
I don't know
decision.
The specific mechanics in that position. Gotcha. However, one of the things that I did learn about the whole process of making all these cuts is it was very democratic. Five administrative people and four faculty people on each thing. And everything came down to a 5-4 vote administration to cut programs and faculty. The faculty voting against it. So if you want to call that a committee, if you want to call that democracy, but no, it's not.
Okay. So do you understand like, or do you, they, there's a, is there a reason why the cut happened? Was it a classroom thing? Was it they needed the space? Like, what was the real reason for the rejection?
Well, they overall blamed the budget. I mean, they can't say anything. Only speaking specifically for Dr. Sure. LeBenz, that's the case I know the most about, but I think it's true for all the faculty, as far as I know, that they can't make any claim against lack of fulfilling job duties or anything like that. No, by far, by any measure, exceeds them on an international level. I mean, dude's internationally recognized as a great scholar. No, they blame it on budget cuts, but it doesn't hold up. Like I said, number one, it's an endowed program and position. Number two, you're making all these cuts to faculty and programs while you're increasing the sports budget and while you're proposing to build a new Kilcawley Center and all these real estate deals. So now you could say, some people say, you know, oh, it's a different pot of money. You know, it's this pot of money for buildings and it's this pot of money for faculty. The buildings, sir, the whole point of the university is the education, the academics of it all, and you need to have quality faculty. Everything else is secondary. And I think it's BS about like any type of different pockets of money. Now,
I haven't heard the official response, and I was halfway thinking that they were going to say that it just wasn't, it didn't hit the minimum requirements for people taking those courses. And that would be understandable if they weren't being taken, there was no interest in the courses. Mm-hmm. I can see cutting that.
Well, as I recently said in my remarks to some graduate, when those committees, once again, composed of administration and faculty, with the faculty being sympathetic and the administration kind of like not saying anything at all. Where was I going with all that? But it's, I wrote a letter with all of that. What were you saying?
My question to you then is, we were talking about like if it was under trafficked, if there was not.
That's what I was going to say. I wrote in there, no one's crying about gerontology, you know, and my friend who actually has a degree in gerontology, even she says, yeah, no one's, I mean, just get rid of the program. That's not the case with these programs. And actually that, they spend these money on these consultants. So the university had this outside consulting firm look at, you know, where can the university make cuts and save money and all that. And the history department was actually one of the ones where, no, it's actually going to be a field of growth. So no, it doesn't, when it doesn't go, it doesn't jive with their own committee reports or their own consultant. That's what makes me mad. It makes me mad about the university and the city of Youngstown's notorious for this too. They spend all this money on consultants, you know, like St. Louis consulting firm, $400,000 there. Just give the money to keep it in the community. And how much could we do with that money, right, instead of spending money on outside consultants to tell you to make cuts here? You know, and that's what they did in this case too. You pay an outside consulting firm to tell you to make cuts. And this isn't even one of the areas where they even say to make a cut. So it's BS. One of the big things that speculate about is its retaliation for the faculty strike last year. Dr. Benz was one semester away from tenure, and now's the time that they could get rid of him because he was, you know, he's a union member, he's involved in the union. And so I think that's one of the big things that needs brought up about what's happening with this administration is all the union busting going on. I think we might have talked a little bit before on the show of what happened at the Dior, that Stamba Auditorium took over management of Dior, which was a union busting thing because the stagehands union ran all the shows there. And Terry Fetchett was there for 30 years as like running the place, keeping the stage safe, keeping together, setting up for the symphony, taking down whatever shows coming through. And they had security escort him out. So it's the same thing. It's an attack on working people. And it's not just, you know, I mean, it's at a high level too. I mean, these are people with high degree of professionalism and experience, you know, like I said, Dr. LeBenz has a PhD, is internationally respected, that it's a union busting effort. And
well, see, you're like the first person that I heard outwardly say that that was the cause. Cause with the rest of us looking at it, there's nothing that makes sense. And if that is the case, then that totally makes sense.
It does make a lot more sense, but that's why we have to hold our media accountable around here too. Cause who's actually doing real reporting on it? I've been real disciplined with Mahoning Matters, you know. I know I realize we share a certain amount of alliteration for it, but it's, come on. I mean, Google funds that whole thing, and it's just been really disappointing how they end up being kind of like just spokespeople for the university. I guess they had, Brooke had her like letter, they've initially published as an editorial about what the student response was. They took it down off of Mahoning Matters, website, and then just only have like the university response from the talking heads from that. So that's that. The Vindicator, what a sad shell of what it used to be. You know, it's owned by an oil and gas company out of West Virginia now. And I guess there's recently some drama with all that like the editor of it attacked David Skolnick, longtime reporter, when the few who made the jump from the Vindicator there. Which, I mean,
Skolnick's
like always
physically
been
attacked?
No, not physically attacked him, but no, professionally attacked. Okay. She did an editorial about it.
We've elevated.
Well, yeah. No, it didn't get that bad yet. But But yeah, so the Vindicator, what a disappointment that is. I, you know, it's not same old Vindicator. And I had some complaints about the old Vindicator too, but at least it was part of this community. It was down here. I never expected to miss the old Vindicator as much as I do, but yeah, the new one is just a show. What other media sources do we have? The Business Journal overall does a good job. And I was glad actually Guy Destofflo, who is the entertainment reporter for the Business Journal, but he actually did some of the hardest hitting reporting about this whole thing yet, about what happened at the Dewar. Luckily, finally, Senator Sherrod Brown and Congressman Tim Ryan are finally speaking out about it. But I thought the whole thing with Dewar and Stambaugh with the union busting, I thought that was all over, but there is still a remnant of fight left, I guess, because of the Youngstown Symphony having a contract with it. So like the Dewar officially got rid of the stagehands union there, but because the symphony has its own relationship with it, so I guess there is still at least a little bit of fight, but I think that both of them should have spoken up a long time ago. And I hope they also speak up again about what Trestle's doing at YSU. I know Tim Ryan was one of the original people who asked him to come to Youngstown. I hope that he recants on that and calls for his resignation now.
So I'm wondering I haven't seen them make any kind of public statements about any of the stuff that's going down. I'm wondering how hard it would be to reach their media departments to talk with us and answer some questions about what this really is. And I don't expect someone to like break script and give us any details that haven't already been said, but usually when things get to the point where it's just an escalating confrontation, it gets dumber as it gets escalating, right? Mm-hmm. Less can actually happen. So what the call for is ultimately this guy to get his tenure back, because this guy to get his position back, this guy to get his classes back. Am I right?
Yeah, but as of today, that's the appeal not, was not rejected. Yeah, today was when the appeal, because after they announced, well, actually, he gets an email one semester away from tenure. He gets an email saying his contract's not being renewed, which is how rude is that? The dude's been here for, I think like 5 years or something. He came here from New Jersey, could have went anywhere in the world and gotten a tenure track position. But he came here to the Judaic and Holocaust Studies program, which as an undergraduate, I was lucky enough to have classes with the original creator of the whole program, Dr. Saul Friedman. And I think there was one person between him and Dr. LeBenz coming in. But it's important that we even have that program here at YSU, and especially with what's happened in the world and rise in anti-Semitism and all the other stuff going on, like it's important and it's still relevant. Trestle wrote a public letter after the tragic synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh a couple years ago about saying, thank goodness we have Dr. LeBenz and the Judaic and Holocaust Studies program. So you're going to, exploit that in a time of tragedy is saying, oh, we have our program here. And then you do someone like that, it's just, I mean, like I said, it's not just about them destroying the academic integrity of YSU. It's just it's not even good natured to do that to someone, to just send an email when your whole professional, it's just not even right how they're doing it. It just shows that they have no respect for the faculty or students to do that. So I don't know where they deserve respect.
So if you were to take all the media people, writers and interviewers or anybody in the media, who's the most objective bulldog that we have that you would put in front of this to be able to dig through and get to the bottom of it? Who would you put even?
I've had a couple criticisms of them before, but I guess overall David Skolnick might be the one to do it. But now he's being like censured at the Vindicator. Like, I guess they took away his column. There's some kind of Trump or anti-Max or school board guy that Skolnick, he tries to try to get you to give up the dirt in a way, as I guess a good reporter does.
Right.
And so I guess he left, Skolnick left him a voicemail saying, people are saying this, are you going to recant? And it was just like slightly aggressive. So they say, oh, you're interfering as a journalist in the story. The journalist can't become the story. Some mess up there, but really he was just trying to, actually let's get out the facts on this here. But anyways, back to, I guess Skolnick would be the one more anyone that really needs to start start investigating. Yeah.
Well, Skolnick is a friend here, and so the invitation is that if he wants to do some digging and he wants us, you know, to be his, you know, megaphone for that, we'll be more than happy to back him and, you know, give him a place to share his findings if he can't do it on his normal gig, you know.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Let's do it. Some independent here.
And I'd like to talk with him again more too. Maybe we have him in here, or if there's another show that you want to have him on or something.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll try to do an interview, and it'll be step one. Like, I want to go to the university, but that's going to be, even if we get lined up something, I know what they're going to say even before they said it. So yeah, it makes more sense to set up somebody who's got the respect, because you know, in that department, to be fair, and to, you know, just get the story out, and that way we might get a conversation going. You never know.
Well, it needs to happen, and there's a lot of other questions about the whole nature of this administration that I think need to be investigated in this area too.
And I think our next show, like, there's a couple of things from a philosophical standpoint about unions and about the role they play in business. But let's have a discussion about this when you're not so fired up.
Yeah.
And I don't want to throw you off of that that stage there. So we'll, you know, maybe next time we'll talk unions.
Yeah.
You cool with that?
Yeah. I'm an IWW guy.
Are you really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a big part of our history in this area. You know, we pride ourselves on being a working class union town, and just the level of union busting going on. But like, I don't want a muddy discussion with that. Some people might be, well, I actually have a buddy who is now a union faculty member, and he's much more similar to your libertarian viewpoint.
Sure.
And he even says, he says some ridiculous stuff sometimes, just to be kind of like more confrontational. But anyways, he's a union person, and he's kind of fired up about it too, about what's happening.
Well, let's hope that some as we get some answers, and, you know, some kind of, you know, let the public know what's really going on this, because it doesn't feel right. It feels really slimy the way that it's being described. And that's not good as far as like when you sort of have some credibility in an industry and then it gets tarnished by stuff like this. You feel a little bit, you know, not great dealing with them.
So. I think it's a great idea to reach out to Skolnick, and just the media in this town in general. They need to cover it and not just move on past it.
All right, on this video, I'm going to tag Skolnick. Hopefully we get a response, and then we'll follow up next week and see if we can get him on the show.
Well, that sounds good.
All right, have a good one, man.
Thank you, Tisha.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.